This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 282 for the week ending Saturday, July 25th, 2015. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all that stuff. I'm Captain Jeff, also known... I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as Captain Jeff. I'm your captain. And joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, Aria Johnson.
Hello, hello. I'm on. Did you unmute me?
I did.
This is a banner day.
Yeah.
Banner day.
Hey. And from Montana, Malta, Montana, Father Corey.
There's a rodeo in Montana.
How's it going?
Where they come from.
I was turning down the wrong knob here. All right, here we go.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, something about going to hula hands or something. I don't know. What does that
hula
mean?
Hula hands? No, is that still around?
Yeah. Hula hands is still around.
Really?
I think. Isn't it?
Gosh, that just reminds me so much of the search. Disco era.
Yeah, that was like the first place that I remember that had all the stuff hanging, all the eclectic pieces of memorabilia hanging up on the walls. A lot of great ambiance. Now every place you go is like that. Hula hands. I'm doing a search.
Gotta look it up.
Hula hands restaurant and bar. Yeah, they're still out there.
There used to be one in the St. Louis area when I lived there, but like I said, I don't know if that still exists or not.
Oh man, I just drove by the skis one that's in Miami in a terrible area, and looked at it and I thought, is this place still open?
Oh geez,
it is. Oh. Hey, you know what? Speaking of restaurants and food and fast food, you know what I had for the very first time on this trip because my co-pilot had a coupon for like a getting one for free if he ordered something. A McGriddle.
Oh, really? You've never had one before?
No, I've never had one. And he gave it to me. He goes, a McGriddle. Yeah, it's like a sausage patty and like this, like pancakes that it's sandwiched between. And I thought, now this is probably not going to be very good, but I'll eat it. It's free. And every single bite I took, I was like, wow, this is really, really good.
It's actually, it's completely not healthy for you, but it's tasty.
No, it's awful for you, I think. So
plastic food, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, that hiss going on in the background just driving me nuts. I don't know. Sorry, everybody listening to the audio podcast.
It's the NSA listening in, They just can't That's quite mask the background noise.
What I do realize now that I'm looking, normally I have a dedicated, hard connection via Ethernet into my MacBook. And this morning I forgot to do that, so I'm just doing the Wi-Fi, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Oh.
Could be.
I don't know.
I don't hear anything. I have such a bad case of tinnitus that...
Really?
Every once in a while I do kind of hear it. It just kind of comes and goes, but...
Well, you guys tell everybody about what you've been doing this week and all that kind of stuff, and I'm just going to go around the back here and reconnect the... Oh, you know what? I'm not going to do that. You know what's going to happen if I do
flying.
That?
You'll blip
he's,
off.
Whatever.
Yeah, it'll disconnect. It'll get my it'll computer disconnect. Will get confused.
We'll live.
Yeah.
For those listening to the recording later, you probably don't hear any of it, but that's all right.
Probably not. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I talk about stuff that I'm hearing and people go, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hear that
it's
at all.
It's always hearing voices in your head.
Well, that's where I get a kick out of you and your bird. It's like, you haven't heard your bird once, whether on EPG or here.
Or the toilet flush, right?
Or the toilet flush.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Do you remember that? I think it was on the All in the Family where the first time on TV somebody flushed a toilet. And
really?
Yeah, I think it was on All in the Family.
That's funny.
Huh.
Well, don't you remember that, like, on the Brady Bunch, I think the Brady Bunch was the first show to show a married couple sharing one bed.
I know I Love Lucy, they had separate beds.
Mm-hmm. They had separate beds.
Flintstones.
Yeah. Did the Flintstones have separate beds?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course, that was about that
anyway,
same
I think
time,
that
though.
The toilet flushing on All in the Family was an interesting thing.
Yeah. Now that's probably the mildest thing you see on TV.
Nobody goes to the bathroom, right?
Mm. Yeah. No. In space or on any long trip anywhere, nobody ever goes to the bathroom.
Apparently not.
Very constipated. You know what? I'm looking at all the Houlihan's locations. There are several of them, but in Atlanta there are no longer any. The closest one to us is Columbus, Georgia.
Oh my gosh! Well, I'm pretty sure there's one in Miami, isn't there?
Let me look. There's only one in Florida. It's in Orlando, on Colonial Drive.
Orlando.
Yeah.
So I wonder what Houlihan's is in Miami, or maybe it's just closed.
Yeah,
and it's abandoned.
Because the one that was closest to me on Johnson Ferry Road, it says it's permanently closed.
Hmm.
Oh, the era of Houlihan's is over, apparently.
Oh, well, I wish I could have saved one of the disco balls from the one in South Florida.
Might still be there if you go into the building.
Things I don't want to brave.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaking into a Houlihan's. Can you imagine what that would look like?
So if you're...
My mugshot would be delightful. Oops.
If you're listening to this, of course you're listening to this, you'll note that it's just the three of us today. Steve is really busy. If you've listened to the previous episodes, you know that this the big shindig is, I guess, started yesterday or today, something like that, in Lexington, Kentucky. And I was looking at his Facebook page, and it looks like he made it to Lexington, so... Let's all keep him in our prayers, and hopefully everything goes really, really smoothly for, 2 weeks, I guess, he's going to be there?
Something like that.
He said it's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't say, I think he said it was, 13 or 14 days total for the conferences.
That's crazy.
800 different events going on or something like that.
Hmm. And then, of course, Sarah Vabulous is taking
it. It sounds more like a music festival.
Well, we got a lot of lag, too. A lot of lag. Oh, well, sorry. I don't mean to be talking over everybody there.
That's all right.
Sarah Vabulous said that she was going to take a weekend off of social media. Is she abiding by that? Do we
she
know?
She posted stuff earlier today, I know.
Uh-oh.
She could have, if she uses something like, isn't Hootsuite or something like that where you can schedule stuff, too? So.
Yeah. 2 hours ago, I see something.
She might have. Well, she retweeted something I did.
Fall style beers are starting to roll out. Speaking of Sarah Vabulous, just finished listening to her second episode of the Catholic Drinky Show, and something about there's beer all over my Bible. I spilled beer all over my Bible. What was the? Is that right?
I haven't listened to it yet. I'll have to check.
Oh no! Wait. Let me look here. It says, where is beer in the Bible? That's
where is beer in the Bible?
Something like that. And
she talks a lot about that in her book. It's pretty interesting, actually. Of course,
Go ahead, Father.
I was going to say, I was reading her book at Adoration. Well, I've gotten past the spiritual part of the book, and now I'm into the making beer part of the book. And I'm sitting there in front of Blessed Sacrament, thirsty for beer. Because there are different recipes.
Well, I can't wait to hear what Sarah has to say about your choice for Adoration. That's a fantastic thing.
Hey, the first part is very spiritual. It really is a wonderful on evangelization.
Oh my!
What?
It is. I can't even begin to think about how to make a beer. But it was so funny. The blueberry Hefeweizens that she made for me. I had one left, and my son came home for the weekend, and So he had it last night, and it was so precious. He's popping the cap on it, and he goes, she has her own precious bottle cap. And I said, did you really just say precious?
It's precious. Well, I was going to say, oh, Jan in the chat room says that there's a great article on the Catholic Drinky in this week's Georgia Bulletin. I have not looked at my Georgia Bulletin.
I haven't seen it yet.
Weekly newspaper from our archdiocese here. So we'll have to check it out.
I wonder if she knows that it came out. I'll have to.
I'm sure she does.
She sent me a behind the scenes picture of the photographer setting up the shot for one of the pictures. So I hope it's the same picture that I saw the setup for, because that would be cool.
You know, I'm still waiting for the photographer to come over here and take a picture of Catholic Weekend. We've only been doing it for 5.5 years.
Well, that's
hello.
Hello. Sorry. A little bit of frustration there is eking out.
A little bit of envy.
No. I don't care. Whatever.
You know what? We'll have to write our own article. Come on. Are you kidding me? They don't even know we exist here.
I know. And you know what?
Actually, we should give a shout out. We should give a shout out to our diocese who finally did hear who we are.
Yeah, they finally acknowledged us. And they actually had a little article in the bulletin about the little shindig we had down at the CNMC.
Very good.
And it was mostly about Greg Willits, which is, you know, it's good because it's he was our keynote speaker, and it was great. It was really good.
Did a great presentation. It was worth highlighting.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Guess who has two thumbs and is still blocked by the Archdiocesan Twitter account?
Well, are you still using Bago as your Twitter ID?
I am.
I think it has something to do with the fact that somebody has decided that some kind of
terribleness,
like a slang, politically incorrect slang for something. Maybe they're confusing it with DEGO. I don't know. Is that the way you spell that? The slang for an Italian? I don't know.
No, it's not.
Begonias are terrible flowers. It must be short for that.
Well, it is short for that. And so somebody obviously doesn't like those kind of flowers.
Have you been listening to the Catholic Hipster that mm-hmm. Sarah's doing with Tommy Tye?
Mm-hmm.
H is silent. Tommy posted something, and I say, "Well, I'm still blocked by the archdiocese." And he started to tweet with the hashtag Free Maria.
Well, you know, there's a way around that, Maria. You just come up with another Twitter ID, and then go to town.
I very well could.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it. It's a lot more fun
to complain about it. So how's everything going with you, young lady?
It's going well. I was just telling Father earlier that I have this looming deadline that I'm never going to get around to doing, so I guess I'll just be in trouble at work next week, but whatever.
Okay.
I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself. Actually, I had an interesting turnaround this week with a request that Elizabeth Scalia, who's the anchoress at Patheos, asked me to just respond to the embassy's opening, the U.S. Mm-hmm. embassy and the Cuban embassy. So I sent off a rant to her, and she ended up publishing it at Patheos. So generous.
It was an excellent article. It really was.
I read it too. Well, it was good.
Well, I've been getting hate mail, so that's always fun.
So who are you getting hate mail from?
That means people are very, it's a very volatile subject. Mm-hmm. You know, people have very strong opinions on both sides of it. And I guess I ultimately did express an opinion, although I don't know, if you ask me tomorrow, I might have a different opinion. But essentially, I think I just don't trust anybody. I don't trust either our administration or the commies, those commie pinkos. So literally.
Well, Saved by the Music. You hear that coming up in the background? Yes, that means it's time for our first break. That is, of course, Alan Marchand and his band playing Punxsutawney Phil. And you can find that on Magnatune and Apple's iTunes Store and many, many other places out there. In fact, you could probably go to alanmarchand.com. I don't know if that's right or not, but do a Google search. You'll find it. A Bing search. Anyway, so this is where we thank, as we always do every week, our supporters, financial supporters to the StarQuest Production Network. You can become a friend of SQPN, if you'd like, by heading over to sqpn.com/donate. And there you'll find many convenient ways to sign up for a monthly amount if you'd like to support our efforts in the new evangelization. Or a one-time donation would be just fine as well. We are a 501c3 corporation, which means that in most cases, your contributions, your donations are tax deductible. And if you'd like to also help support us by doing some shopping so you get some good, Amazon.com is a great place to do that online digital shopping. And if you do a lot of that, please remember to go over to the StarQuest Production Network website, click on the Amazon.com banner, and then a portion of your purchase will be sent to SQPN. Our network really benefits from that relationship that we have, that partnership with Amazon.com. So again, look for your country's link, click on that, and then you do your shopping on Amazon. Nothing changes. Everything is as it normally is when you're doing your shopping, but just a little bit of that purchase will go to us. Not the purchase, but the money that you're spending on it. And finally, if you're interested in starting a blog or a podcast or both, or you want to sell something or you want to have a website and you want to do a self-hosted WordPress website, for instance, Bluehost.com is a great place to go for that. And we have many of our participants and podcasters at the StarQuest Production Network use Bluehost to host their personal blogs. Maria, Sarah, Steve, Father Roderick, etc. And they're all very, very happy with the services that they're receiving from Bluehost. So if you're interested in doing that, head over to sqpn.com/Bluehost, or you can find the banner on our website. And by clicking through and signing up, again, we'll get a nice little bit of revenue share from them. So thank you again for all of you and all your thoughts, prayers, and your financial support. We do really appreciate it. All right.
I love that ending.
Yeah, me too.
In another lifetime, I wish I could play the drums.
Well, you already play the saxophone, so, you know, I guess you could add
magnificently.
Yes, you do. If you ever see Maria, like at a conference or whatever, ask her. She brought her saxophone with her. And if so, she'll serenade you to something jazzy.
Nice.
Jazzy. Jazzy.
I'll be recording the intermediate music.
Let's see.
You know he's kidding, right, Father Glory?
Yeah, oh, yes. I figured.
What, me? Kidding? Are you kidding? Am I kidding?
Actually, didn't I play one of those little plastic ones that's about this big that I got at the store one time a long time ago?
Yeah. That wasn't very good either.
No.
And whatever. The real one would be even worse. Worse of a train wreck.
Oh my God.
Tell you what, you could play the saxophone and I could play the drums and we could have dogs howling all across the country.
You know that Steve is at that conference for KKSI, which is the National Honor Society for college musicians or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my oldest daughter, who played the flute and the piccolo and the marimba in high school, went on to become a member of the organization when she was a drum major at Georgia Tech. So, hey, plug for Vic. Anyway, when she was in middle school learning to play this instrument, something happened, and she decided that the flute was not cool enough and came home, I think, with a clarinet, some reed instrument. Let's say it's a clarinet. She didn't say anything that she was switching instruments. She just decided she was going to pick it up and see if she liked it. And I was teaching an evening class, and I was coming home at about 8:30 at night. It was just starting to get dark, and I'm at the bottom of the hill in my neighborhood, and I hear what sounds to me like some cat moaning to death.
Quick, call animal control and get this thing out of its misery.
There he is. And I'm driving up the hill, and it just sounds so mournful and awful. And I get to the house, and I come inside, and I just still hear it sound far off. And I said, "What is going on?" And my husband says, "I have exiled the child to the back porch because she was doing that inside the house."
and that scarred her for life, I think.
So, well, our neighbors obviously hated us for years after that.
That's terrible. Sad. That's sad. Yeah. Hey, did you guys hear about the, it's kind of up in your neck of the woods, actually very close to your neck of the woods, Father, something about a Jesus statue on top of a big mountain or something?
Yes. It's a statue that was put up as a memorial for World War II, and it's actually on top of Big Mountain. That's actually the name of the mountain.
Oh, it's not only a big mountain, but it's also called Big Mountain.
Big Mountain.
Yes. It's actually a
little rolling hill, right?
Yeah. It's only 6,800 feet. I mean, it's no big deal. it's actually at the top of a ski resort. However, the land that it is on is not owned by the ski resort. It's owned by the Forest Service. It's federal land. And first of all, once the federal government gets hold of land, it almost literally takes an act of Congress to sell. So this land, this was put on this federal land, and it's been leased by a private organization. They leased the land for, you know, it's 10-year leases. They pay the lease and everything. Well, atheists are suing because it is on federal land, even though it's being leased to a private organization, because it's, of course, separation of church and state violation, as they understand it. You know, basically, their idea of church and state is the state can tell the church whatever it wants, but the church can't have anything to do with the state. My opinion, sorry.
And what don't you understand about that?
Yeah, exactly. The separation works one way. Otherwise, we wouldn't be paying, like, property tax, for example. there's been a fight for quite a few years to deal with this statue, and of course the atheist result is they want it gone, they want it removed, they want it bulldozed, they want it jackhammered, they want no sign the statue ever existed.
Wow.
But there's another group that wants to, first of all, keep it, because it's like the local Knights Columbus in Kalispell, I believe it is, Whitefish, Montana, excuse me. They're keeping it up. They keep the statue up. They paint it every couple of years and stuff like that. They won't actually want to buy the land that it's on and trade the Forest Service for other land or do something like that, so that the land ends up being on private property again. And so there's huge fight over all this. Just a statue. It's a 25 by 25 foot piece of land that it's on. And it's a huge fight.
And how many years has that been there?
60 years.
Wow.
Over 60 years. It was put up right after World War II.
Yeah, it was an interesting article. We'll include that in the show notes. It talks about the fact that many of the people that served in World War II were serving in Europe, in Italy, and many of the mountains that they were, you know, traveling around had these statues. It's a very common mm-hmm. thing, and they thought that that would be kind of a fitting memorial for the World War II soldiers that lost their lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it also sounds like a lot of many of the people who were in this 10th Mountain Division that it's dedicated, the statue is dedicated towards, had skied on Big Mountain. They had skied at that ski resort, so it was a it was something that was very familiar to them, that spot. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a quote here from Ed Schneck. He came back and on Big Mountain founded one of the country's earliest ski resorts. He never forgot about his fallen comrades. And he said he was an avid skier, skied on many of the slopes in Italy. He remembered that almost all of the slopes in Italy had statues of Christ on the slopes, more than one of several slopes, and also other statues and crosses. So when he returned to Whitefish after the war, he had such an admiration of the Christ statues that he had observed on the slopes of Italy during the war that he wanted to install one on Big Mountain in memory of the men who had lost their lives in World War II. But, you know, the other kind of ironic thing about this is that they say that the statue on Big Mountain is really very, very difficult to see. You have to be, like, mm-hmm. right in the right place, and you have to, there's no trail that leads to it, and it's basically surrounded by trees, and you have to, you know, kind of know where to look to see it. So
exactly. It's not right there. You know, you have to go out your way to get there. It's not like it's, you know, you can see it. If you're familiar with another statue, Our Lady of the Rockies, which you can see from all over Butte, Montana, it's not like that at all. It's mm-hmm. pretty discreet.
Now, is that one?
Well, it's obviously just a targeted complaint.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there was one of the atheists said that he can't ski on that mountain because he knows that Christ statue is there.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
His conscience is being pricked by our Lord.
Yes.
Terrible.
I know.
There are so many. That's a great way to observe that, that commentary, too.
A little snarky.
All I can say is he must be pretty thin-skinned because I can go past, you know, atheist signs and stuff, and I might get irritated, but
yeah, you know, shake your head a little bit or whatever. But you know, let's not let us, you know, bring a lawsuit against it to get rid of it.
No. And by the way,
we've lost the ability to dialogue in these times. We can't exactly. even agree to disagree without taking it personally. You know, yep. I can not like what you like and still like mm-hmm. you.
Yeah,
and Lynn Francisco also points out there's the Mount Soledad cross in San Diego, which is also under the same situation. Although I just saw this week that they've sold that land. The federal government did get permission from Congress, literally an act of Congress, to sell that land for the value of the land. It was like $1.4 million or something like that for a half acre of land.
Hmm. Well, these folks don't need to use any money at all because, you know, it's got, you know, May God We Trust printed on it. So
there you go.
Well, they're going to try to change
that too.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, how about some good news? And regarding before we end that, kind of tie that one up, it's still in, I guess, litigation, right? They haven't really come to a ruling on that yet. All right.
Yeah. It's in, you know, lawsuit and countersuit and, you know, appeal and you name it.
Blah, 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 blah. What's going to happen when that pendulum starts to swing in the other direction? And I think we're seeing glimpses of that.
I don't know. Hope it doesn't get as bad.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Well, speaking of good, you know, that guy that did that series, the award-winning series Catholicism, and that we've seen so many different places in our local parishes and also on public television, et cetera.
That guy.
Who is that guy?
Well, that guy is Father Robert Barron, but now we can call him Bishop Barron.
Bishop-elect.
Bishop-elect, okay.
Bishop-elect.
Oops, I said.
He's not a... Not ordained to the bishopric yet.
Bishopric? Bishopric,
I don't know if that's a title.
Let's just move
it's
on.
Priesthood of bishopric, I guess.
Bishopric your conscience?
Yeah.
There's your title.
Yeah.
So, and two other guys.
And two other guys, yeah, that are both great guys as well. And let's see, who are the other two? I don't have the list in front of me now. Darn it. One of them is Simca Fisher's uncle. Brennan, I think, is his name. And I have no idea on the third one. But there are three.
And that's pretty much been the week, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure that I can find it somewhere, but I'm sure that one of my co-hosts will help me and find that, do some research while I'm just flailing out here by myself.
I'm trying to find.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
so anyway, Father Robert Barron, you know, in this, he's been, you know, very big in the new media. And recently, within the last couple of years, I think he was advanced or promoted to the rector at the one of the prominent seminaries in our country. Mundelein, is that the way you pronounce it?
Mundelein.
Mundelein. Yeah,
he's a University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. It's the major seminary for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and it's also my my theology studies. That's where I did my theology studies, was at Mundelein.
Excellent.
And Father Barron is, I did have him as a professor for one class, Doctrine of God. At class, he would go, so, doctors of the soul, soul doctors, what do you think? You know, as he always calls priests soul doctors. It's kind of fun to, the way he teaches. But it's a wonderful thing, you know, it's not a total surprise, to be honest with you. I expected it eventually. I didn't expect it quite so quickly, but you never know. Sometimes you never know when it's going to happen.
I thought, wow, he's so, the two other, bishop elects, the three auxiliary, bishops named recently in LA, I don't even know if I mentioned it was Los Angeles, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He's going to be one of the auxiliary bishops. Right. That I thought, you know, he's so young because he looks young to me, but he's 55. He's like a year younger than I am. So he's, I guess that's still kind of young for bishop. The other two are 61.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's average.
Did you finally get their names?
No, because, did you?
I got trapped in a freeze here, but
okay, here I'll find
it. The thing that what I'm referring to is how funny that they announced the three new auxiliary bishops, and the only one that was getting any attention was really Father Barron. But this is actually an amazing move, and I can't remember their names, but I think one of them is bilingual. Some of the questions were, well, there were no Hispanics assigned. Mm-hmm. But they've got an amazing, it's frozen.
Okay. Frozen. Here we go. I finally found it. We're all Googling here. Bishop, Joseph or Monsignor Joseph Brennan, Monsignor David O'Connell and Father Barron are the three that were picked for that. Bishop O'Connell was actually born in Cork, Ireland.
I think he's the one that's bilingual.
Irish and English? No, I'm kidding.
Well, Simca Fisher, she has a column in the National Catholic Register, and she has a article there about the great news for Los Angeles and prayers for Uncle Joe. That's Joe Brennan. And by the way, she said that part of being part of the Brennan family also means that you like to sing. And let's see if I can bring up some of this YouTube video here. And here, cool. The new bishop elect singing. Let's see. That's not him.
Hope not.
I'm trying to find where he comes in. Here he is.
Let this be our prayer. When shadows fill our us to a place, guide us with your grace.
Pretty nice, huh?
Yeah.
All right, you were able to hear that, yeah. I'm assuming. Yeah, so anyway, so it was three great men, talented men. It looks like good things happening out there in Los Angeles.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see how much Father Barron can continue to do with his Word on Fire ministry, because I know that he was given that role by Cardinal George about 10 or so years ago, and he's put a lot of time and effort into that, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can continue to do. I'll be looking forward to seeing what's going to happen for the future for that.
Yeah, and John, hello John, in the chat room reminds us that many have said that that the Father Baron or Bishop-elect Baron has been called the Fulton Sheen of our time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good analogy. That really is.
Yeah.
And you know what better place to
really
be
on it? What's that?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. I said, what better place to be, but in Los Angeles with all that, you know, that production out there of media.
Yep. Exactly. So,
I'm sorry, Maria, okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that he really has the pulse of the times in which we live. Mm-hmm. And has a great gift to bridge the tradition and the 2000 year plus history of mm-hmm. the church. That's it. He's an interesting guy. Did you see him when he was here in Atlanta a couple of years ago?
No.
Jeff, I went and heard him speak, and really just enthralling to listen to him.
Well, he's an excellent speaker, and he very dynamic, very interesting. I think he's gonna be a good one for that role as auxiliary bishop, and who knows, maybe bishop on his own, you know, own diocese at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, in another article, I'm wondering, you know, I'm thinking about Father Baron and his Word on Fire ministries and his presence in new media, and I'm wondering if. You know, what do we need to do to reach the missing millennials? What must we do to reach this generation? And this is, again, another article from the National Catholic Register. They're talking about a recent Pew Research Center report released in May found that just 16% of millennials identified as Catholic, while 20 to 23% of their counterparts in three previous generations claimed that religious affiliation. So, dropping from about 20 to 23 to 16%. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, the portion of religiously unaffiliated Americans surpassed the number of Catholics. And so they're talking about in this article of how they're kind of really their morals and their everything that they think about is more aligning with what's the word now? I can't think of the world, the secular
the culture,
world. The culture.
The relativistic society in which we are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like same sex marriage. It's okay. All the other things going on in our world. They're kind of siding more with the secular world, the non-faith world, than their own faith. And what's happening here, and what can we do to kind of, you know, fix this?
So do they offer any
you know, I didn't read the entire article, so I don't know what the writer finally kind of put out there for
the conclusion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that Sarah's not here, or that we couldn't get Patrick Padley on to talk about this subject. But you know what I'm finding as I engage with younger folks is that those who are remaining in the church and those who are embracing the church are embracing it authentically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the points
it's
in the article.
Such a beautiful thing to see.
That's one of the points in the article is we need to be authentic in our faith. We need to be living our faith, and we need to be living it boldly. You know, that's because they see the culture that we have a culture that it's unafraid of promoting what it thinks is right. You know, we see Hollywood is out there, frankly, brazenly putting out there, evangelizing, if you will, on things like gay marriage and stuff like that. They have no problem doing that. And we're kind of sitting there in the background, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't, you know, when we're doing this kind of this weak need, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to make anybody upset by talking about my faith. That's why they're going away. They're not seeing us being authentic. They're not seeing us living our faith. They're not seeing us being proud of our faith, that our faith is something life-giving and good.
But I think that we're seeing, but the ones who are doing it pretty boldly. I don't know. Have you been following this past week has been the NFP Awareness Week? Those are some courageous posts that I've been seeing.
Sure.
By a lot of people who are talking about that subject. You know, when you have a society that is interested in organic vegetables and you know, meat meat products that are coming from animals that don't have, you know, antibiotics and growth hormones and things like that, and yet have no issue at all popping a pill, you know, to control fertility. And it's been a great, I mean, it's been a great week of some really good articles by, obviously, by young people. You know, it's kind of out of my arena right now, but TMI, sorry, but it's, you know, it's but it's a great topic to speak about boldly because and courageously, because it is about living the faith authentically. And
but I think the problem is, and I think the article kind of points it out, that it's not so much you'll see it on the internet, because you will see, if you go looking for it, you know, you'll see people like Simca Fisher and others, Matthew Kelly and people like that, who, yeah, they're out there and they're living the faith boldly, and they're unapologetic for being Catholic. They're you know, they love being Catholic. They think everyone needs to be Catholic, which we do. I think the problem is when we come to our parishes, the vast majority of parishes, you don't see that. You know, I see that in the parishes I deal with, parishes I've been at before I entered the seminary, you know, even, you know, as a seminarian. You just don't see that boldness of, we're Catholic, we love being Catholic, and we want you to be Catholic because it's the right thing. It's what's best for us. You just don't see that excitement, that energy. It's just like, well, we're here because it's Sunday and you come to Mass.
Well, isn't that the assumption that if they're there at Mass, that they are Catholic, and then we don't need to be boldly asserting ourselves amongst our group?
Absolutely. You know, there's that's why I love so much the Forming Intentional Disciples program by Sherry Waddell, because that's her first point. Her first point is, they may be there, they may be baptized, they may be catechized, they're not evangelized, and they're not disciples. They're not living their faith intentionally. You know, and I see that so much in parishes, and I think that's the first challenge. If we're going to get millennials, we first and foremost need to wake up parishes. You know, we need to wake up the parishioners in the pews, that they can then bring, you know, reach out to the millennials and say, come with us, you know, join us. This is good. You know, this is good for you. This is something you will get more life out of than you can ever imagine, because we don't live that.
I guess one of the brighter things about this research poll was that the religious indifference of many cradle Catholics is matched by the enthusiasm of a small but vibrant group of new arrivals, in other words, converts to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their striking commitment reveals the enduring appeal of Catholic faith and community in an era shaped by powerful secular forces. So I guess it's not all bad news, but still, it's mostly discouraging. I think. And then, you know, I'm certainly far removed at my age from the millennials. I think that, you know, I'm out here trying to do as much as I can, being an old codger, you know, in my silver years at 56 years old. But I'm not the person out there to do something about this. It's the young people that need to do this.
Yes, you are, because you are the example to them.
I agree. I think we all need to. We can't just say other people to do it. You know, because to be honest, I think it doesn't matter about age so much. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's easy for someone who's a millennial to kind of look at you and say, "Oh, you're my parents' age. You're, I hate to say it, grandparents' age. Why do I have to listen to you?" But if they see your example of life, they might say, "You've got something I want to listen to." You know, I guess my kind of an analogy for that would be, you know, if a millennial wants to learn how to be a pilot, do you think he's going to come to you and say, you know what, you don't have anything to teach me about being a pilot?
True.
If a millennial's smart.
No, but he's watching, or she's watching you fly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And watching your demeanor when you're setting up and when you're under duress. Those are things that are.
Because you probably have co-pilots that are getting about that age, don't you?
Getting about what age?
About millennials.
Yeah. You know, actually I was just thinking about the fact that more and more of the time now, especially in the airplane that I fly, because I've not sacrificed my seniority to fly the airplanes where there are more people like me, you know, at my age. So I'm kind of one of the older ones flying the Mad Dog, the MD-88 and MD-90. And so I'm getting a lot. And so this airplane happens to be one of those where we get the new hires coming in.
Sure.
And this is the airplane that most of them are flying when they start out. And what's funny about it is I see myself in them when I was first hired, when I was in my late 20s and, you know, early 30s. And I remember flying with these guys that have been with the company for 20, 25 years, and they are old enough to be my dad. And that's what's happening now. And now I'm that guy, that old guy with
dad.
The gray hair. No, really, I am serious. There are guys that I'm flying with that they're, you know, they're like 30 years old.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, my oldest daughter is 28, and you know, if we had started having children earlier in our marriage, you know, they would be in their early 30s.
Yeah.
So.
And just, you know, kind of the same analogy applies with our faith. You know, they might not be looking at you and say you're out of touch with the culture, which, you know, frankly, I feel like I am, even though I'm not even 40 yet. But they, if they see in you something that is attractive, if they see in you living your faith and they can see how it brings joy to your life, they'll notice that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as that co-pilot who wants to learn how to be a good pilot is going to be watching what you're doing and learning from you, in the same way someone, a millennial who wants to find joy, wants to find what true joy is about, he's going to notice. He might not say anything. He or she might not say anything. You know, they might roll their eyes and, you know, all that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be watching. And that's what we need to be doing, is first and foremost living our faith regardless of what age. You know, regardless if, you know, 5 or 50 or 100, you know.
Yep.
So, and not just saying, well, the young people, you know, need to do that.
I don't know. Did you guys follow that kind of that campaign that kind of just sprang up about why I'm Catholic or why I remain Catholic? You know, I think a lot of those conversations are important to continue to have and to continue to to give a good example. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
You know, there's kind of a phrase in the church. They're not going to care about you until they know that you care about them. You know, they're not going to care what you have to say, and until they know that you care about them. You know, and I see that as a priest. You know, I can sit up there and I can preach, and it's not going to do any good if they think, well, he doesn't care about any of us. And frankly, I know there are people in my parish that feel that way. It's not true, but they don't understand it. They don't see that. And, you know, that's a failing on my part if I'm not doing that. Because St. Paul says, you know, I can preach with the tongue of angels, but if I have not love, it's like a clanging cymbal,
Oh, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with our lives. You know, we have to show them first and foremost that we care about them, that we want them to have what's best in their life. We want them to have the joy that we've found in Christ. And of course, when a lot of us walk around and we sound grumpy and everything's wrong, and well, we'll wonder why they're not interested.
Bring back the Tridentine Mass.
And, yeah.
And
yeah. Get off my lawn.
You know, but
you know, exactly.
And I'm not saying that, again, I hope people don't take me the wrong way. I love the beauty of the Tridentine Mass, the extraordinary form of the Mass. So I'm not saying anything against that. But I guess what we're trying to say is that those are just like, it's got to be the way it was back in the 50s, or it's not right, you know.
Oh yeah, the people who are always bitter about everything.
Yeah.
You know, Vatican II ruined the church, and you know, no, we can't be like that, and it's not attractive. I mean, I'm the same way. I love the Tridentine Mass. I learned how to celebrate it. I need to celebrate it more because it is such a beautiful Mass, but I can't stand the people who, you know, everything's wrong, everything's bad. You do anything, even the slightest bit off, and it's, look at the reaction Father Roderick got with the Star Wars video.
Mm-hmm.
The hate that he got from that side of how he's a Vatican II priest and this is leading the church to hell, and you know, yeah.
Or
that's
the complaints,
not attractive.
The complaints that were levied at him for just playing. This is a priest that's all he's doing is playing with Legos.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what's wrong with today's church.
You know,
our priests play with Legos.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what? And that's the mindset that chases the millennials away.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to want to be a part of that. I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. Chases me really away.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but when you see people that just, they exude joy. They're just happy to be alive, happy to serve Christ. That's what's going to
happen. I don't like confrontation.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I think of every time I see the Pez dispensers? I think of that episode of Seinfeld, because everything in my whole world revolves around Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Oh, <yeah. laughs>
But they were at that a recital or a concert. George was dating a lady who was playing the piano, and Jerry's sitting next to Elaine, and he has this Pez dispenser, and just like right in the middle of this concert, he just takes the Pez dispenser and just sticks it on her leg. And then she just starts laughing uncontrollably and giggling and everything else, and enough that it just disrupted the entire concert, and it was just funny. But it just takes that thing and puts it on. Anyway, yeah, you know what? I think it's now time for moving on. Yeah. And I hope you guys have really good ones, because I still haven't come up.
I do.
I do too.
Oh, I do. Good. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go, because I'm going to do something today with that. So our friend Jeff Young has a book called Around the Table with a Catholic Foodie, Middle Eastern Cuisine. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, it's from his trip to the Holy Land. And he posted earlier, or maybe it was Lisa Hendy, our friend Lisa, posted a link to a baba ganoush recipe.
Ooh, yum.
I don't think I've had that. What is that? Goodness.
It's like hummus,
uh-huh,
but with eggplant.
Ooh,
instead of chickpeas, you make it with eggplant.
So good.
And so you roast the eggplant, and then that's what you do. You just take out the cooked, you know, the mushy meat inside, and you make a delicious dip. And so I'm going to try that recipe today, because I just love it. But every time I look at it, I think of who is it? Is it the comedian who goes hummus, whatever. Anyway, it's whatever.
Oh yeah, that one.
That one. Anyway. my pick of the week is Around the Table with the Catholic Foodie, Middle Eastern Cuisine.
Awesome.
And I saw that the link is already up with our Amazon smile thing. So
all
get
right.
it.
Yeah.
And I'll report back after I eat all the dip today.
I heard that we don't want to tell people to use Amazon Smile. We want them to use the plain in link, because we get a lot more percentage that way. So
yep. More money is good.
Oh. Yeah. Every penny counts.
Always good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can keep all this nonsense going.
So the link is up, I saw. But yeah, let's, I can't wait. I'll post pictures. It's going to be so good.
So you're going to make some of those recipes, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to make the baba ganoush today.
Okay. You'll have to let us know how that turns out. But you're such a good cook. You can make anything turn out.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Father Corey.
Well, I've got a couple books too. And Maria mentioned Lisa Hendy, who, you know, she writes one or two books. She's done a few. You know, she knows how to write. It seems like she's constantly writing. I think she's writing more. Actually, I know she's writing more. Well, I had the privilege actually to be asked to endorse one of her new series. It's a series of kids books, kind of upper elementary, not quite middle school, but I think ages 7 to 10 is what they've geared it towards. And it's called The Chime Travelers. Oh, trying to hold it here so it looks good. You can see it on if you're watching it.
Chime Travelers.
Chime Travelers. So the idea is they're kids who they somehow magically travel through time and meet these saints. So she's got two of them out so far. First one is The Secret of the Shamrock, where one of the boy and his frog go back to meet St. Patrick. And then the second one is The Sign of the Carved Cross, where the young girl goes back and meets St. Kateri Tekathwita, the Native American saint. So they're kind of interesting books. They're kind of fun. Just idea of just through this magical transportation, they end up back in time and meet these saints, and you kind of see and learn about the saints through their eyes. And you know, Lisa's written it kind of again about age 7 to 10, but it's something I think adults can pick up too. It's got really neat art by an illustrator by the name of Jen Bauer, and I've added a link to her website as well in the show notes. Very neat art. It's cute books, very good. I was thrilled when Lisa asked me to endorse them, and you can go on the Amazon site. Of course, we've got the Amazon link also in the show notes, and you can see my endorsement as well. So check those out. Very much worth doing. She's got two out, and I know she's writing a couple more. She's probably got about 5 or 6 written already. You know how Lisa is, constantly writing. So
mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, my pick of the week. Thank you, Father Corey. We'll have all that in the show notes. My pick of the week, since we talked about the Georgia Bulletin, the archdiocesan newspaper for the Atlanta Archdiocese, we'll put a link to that in the show notes if you want to check out the Georgia Bulletin. You don't have to be here in this parish and receive it in your mailbox. You can actually go to their website and read some of the articles there. So a plug for the Atlanta Archdiocese from me here at the StarQuest Production Network. And let's see, just a reminder, support Sarah and Maria by buying Sarah Vabulous's The Catholic Drinkies Guide to Homebrewed Evangelism. We have some links to that in the show notes as well, and it'll help out Sarah and SQPN. Also, pre-order Maria's book, My Badass Book of Saints. We hadn't said it yet. My Badass Book of Saints, Courageous Women Who Showed Me How to Love, again on Amazon. Pre-order that book so that we can help support both StarQuest Production Network and Maria Johnson. And also, speaking of support, the two podcasts that Sarah has started, the Catholic Drinky podcast and the Catholic Hipster podcast, go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcasts, and leave reviews, and that will really help kind of kickstart their popularity in the appropriate areas of iTunes, etc. So make sure you do that, and I have to do that myself, actually. One of those things that on my to-do list. And finally, Father...
Thanks for all that love.
Yeah, you're welcome. Father Corey, frcorey.org. You can listen to those great homilies that Father Corey does each and every week.
Yep, you can listen to there, or you can find my my internet presence on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so on. You can, if you go to, I'm going to post it on Facebook. I had a project this week I had to do in my bathroom, but you can find that at frcoreystica, last name spelled STICHA.
A project in your bathroom?
I had to replace the floor.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, thank you. Maria Johnson, MariaMJohnson.com.
MariaMJohnson.com. I'm getting emails to Mariam now, which is maybe interesting.
Yeah. And, that's what it looks like.
Follow me on Twitter at Bago. I'm on Facebook. And do go over to Patheos.com and check out my views on the embassy situation.
In Cuba.
I'm the editor's choice in Cuba. Yeah, so I'm the editor's choice at Patheos.com this week. So go awesome. Leave a comment. I'll answer.
Can't think of anybody better. All right. And I am Captain Jeff, airline pilot guy. And you can find me on Twitters and Facebook and the website airlinepilotguy.com. And sounds like the music is getting even louder in the background. That means that's my cue to wrap this thing up. Hope everybody has a great Catholic weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And as always, take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.